kind of hurried back for the memorial service for Luis Flores. And I'm sure pretty much everybody's aware that he had found passed away in his home this past week. And we all know what, you know, poor health he was in, how much pain he was in, it seemed like constantly. And we talked Thursday night about what a rough life he lived. He really did. And we had the privilege of knowing him for about 10 years, and the last 5 years especially. You know, what a rough life he had and how much pain he was in, especially the last half year or so. And so in a lot of ways, you know, I just asked everybody Thursday night to think about, you know, that Lewis you saw the last time you saw him and how much pain he was in. And the hope we have as a Christian is that all that pain, you know, was now taken away. And so that's something good to think about. But we certainly are sad. And it was a really interesting service. He had a lot of friends from UPS and a lot of family. I think a lot of us were surprised how many family members were there. And they told some wonderful, inspiring stories about Lewis and how he encouraged a lot of people. And it was really good to hear those stories. I think everybody who was there was lifted up by, especially the stories that friends and family told. But, you know, we need to acknowledge that here at Lakeshore because we were kind of his church for a little while, and he was always here for Bible studies on Wednesdays. And we're kind of sad that he's gone. But we're glad to be back in town. And it's good to see everybody this morning. Jewel walked in, and I said, "Jewel's back." And she said, "No, I was here last week." Okay. And then Arnold walked in, and I said, "Arnold's back." And he said, "No, I was here last week." So I guess y'all had a nice week last week welcoming Arnold back and Jewel. So glad to see you're back out. But we're glad to be home today. And to prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper this morning, I want to think, first of all, about a video that I come across online. And it was interviewing a man. His name's R.C. Sproul. He's a Calvinist. And the question they asked him was, "Does God desire all men to be saved?" And I'm not going to play the video. You can look at that if you want to. But I thought, what an interesting question. Is it really that difficult to answer that question? Because 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 and 4 talks about God desires all people to be saved. I mean, that was the scripture I thought of when I read that. So here's the question. Does God desire all people to be saved? Well, is it really that hard? I mean, that's exactly what Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3 and 4. God, our Savior, desires all men to be saved. And so there's a little lesson there about how, you know, we can believe what we want to believe and see what we want to see in Scripture, even though it's very, very plain. And we might do that sometimes about various Scriptures as well. But I think most of you agree with me that, you know, the answer to that question really is pretty plain, that God does want everybody. It's His desire, you know, that everybody would be saved. And there's other Scriptures that I think, you know, make the same point just as plain. What did Jesus mean in Mark 16 when he said, "Go, preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." Why did he say, "Go tell everybody and give everybody this opportunity, and those who do accept it, you know, can be saved"? What does that mean? Why did Paul preach at Athens in Acts chapter 17 that God now commands all men everywhere to repent? What does that mean if it's not possible for everyone to hear the gospel and to respond to it and to repent of their sins? And so I think we see so many scriptures like this, you know, in the New Testament where the invitation is to all. Jesus died for everyone. God wants everyone to be saved. It's not always as simple as we make it. There are some tough scriptures. And one of the scriptures that people like R.C. Sproul would lean on to say God does not want everybody to be saved or does not have a plan for everybody to be saved is Romans chapter 9 and verse 15. It says, where God had said to Moses, "I will have mercy on whoever I'll have mercy, and I'll have compassion on whoever I will have compassion." And the way the Calvinist would use that passage is to say that, you know, it's kind of an individualistic predestination doctrine that God is just going to save whoever He wants to save, and He'll have mercy on whoever He wants to have mercy, and others will be excluded. That it's just arbitrarily, you know, up to God to make that decision. And you can see just by reading that scripture how some might take it in that way. But rather, I think the way we're supposed to understand that scripture is that, yes, it's God's choice who will be saved. But who does he want to be saved? And the answer is, he wants everyone to be saved. And a lot of people had a hard time with the fact that God would just open up salvation to anyone. That's really what the book of Romans, that's Romans 9, that's really what the book of Romans is about. Romans 1:16, the gospel is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. And this was the key issue in Romans, a big part of the book. It's not just for the Jew, it's also for the Greek. And the Jews had a real hard time with that God would just accept the Gentiles. But it's not the Jews' decision to decide who deserves to be saved. It's God's decision to decide who is going to be saved. And that's the argument he's making in chapter 9 when he says, you know, God will have mercy on whoever he wants to have mercy. And if he wants to have mercy on Gentiles, that's his prerogative. He will have mercy on whoever he wants to have mercy. He will have compassion on whomever he wants to have compassion. And it's God's desire to save everyone. And he's willing to save everyone. And he's willing to forgive anyone. You see that in John 3:16. For God so loved the world, everyone, he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's what God wants. And Jesus loves everyone. God loves everyone. Jesus died for everyone. And whoever they are who's willing to believe, to truly believe in Jesus, can have salvation. And so we go back to the scripture we began with. God desires all men to be saved. So I watched the video, and what R.C. Sproul said about it is it's kind of like a judge who, when the time comes for sentencing, and this young man must go to prison or whatever it might be, you know, it breaks his heart. He wishes the young man or woman could be spared, but he must uphold the justice of the law. And that's what this passage means, that the emotions of God would desire that person be saved. But that's really not what the passage is saying. If you read further, it says there's one mediator and one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ. Again, look at it. It says he gave himself a ransom for all. And so that's really what verse 4 is talking about also. God wants all mankind, not just males, but all mankind to be saved. And Jesus died for everyone, not just for certain ones that have been predestined, but Jesus died for everyone. And that's really what the Lord's Supper is about, if you stop and think about it for a moment. That's an important topic, and I think it's important to remember that Jesus did die for everyone. But at this moment, we stop and bring it home and just think about how he died for us. Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and said, "This is my body which was given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, he took the cup after supper. "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you." Well, it wasn't just shed for us. It was shed for everyone. But we're the ones who have been saved and who have the privilege of participating in this memorial because we've received the benefits of the death of Jesus on the cross. And so, yes, it was shed for us. It was shed for everyone. But we participate in the Lord's Supper this morning as people who have been saved by the blood of Jesus. So let's reflect on the great sacrifice that he made and how great God's love is, and think of ways that we can serve him better and share that gospel with everyone that Jesus died for. Let's bow our heads now and give thanks. Dear Father, we pause before we participate in this memorial to ask for your help, that we'll all eat and drink the cup in a manner that pleases you. We know that we've sinned, and you didn't give up, and you sent Jesus to die for our sins. And even still, Father, we know